Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series, The Invisible War. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
Verse 23 tells us that change requires new thinking. Change in your life requires new thinking. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and we're going to continue because the battle for sin in your life and the battle for the defects in your life, so you can kind of be a better person as time goes on, always is a mental battle. It starts in the mind. It's won or lost there. Let's see, how can I say this? You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, out of the issues heart are the issues of life. That the way you think, we talked about this many times, the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you don't like the way you act in a crowd. You know, you act nervous, you act goofy, you don't know what to say. You know, if you want to change the way you act, you've got to change the way you feel. Because if you're acting nervous, it's because you feel nervous. But if you want to change the way you feel, you've got to change the way you think. You can't focus on the feeling. You can't fight a feeling. You can't force a feeling. But you can change the way you feel by changing the way you think, because every feeling is determined by a thought. Now, if you say, I'm not acting very loving to my wife because I don't feel very loving to my wife, you need to change the way you think about your wife. And that is a choice. You can't control your feelings, but you can control your thoughts. And if you change your thoughts and you start thinking loving thoughts toward your husband, toward your spouse, toward whoever, it's going to change the way you feel, and that's going to change the way you act. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse 23. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You're not going to change until your thoughts change, until your attitudes change. This is why a daily quiet time is important. Why every day you need to spend 4, 5, 10 minutes at least where you get alone with God for 5 minutes and you sit down and you be quiet and you open the Bible and you read the Bible a little bit and you talk to God about whatever's on your mind. That's called prayer. You listen to God through the Bible. You talk to God in prayer. You just be quiet. You say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? That is the spiritual renewal in your mind. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have the power to change. Now, you know what a change of mind is called in Scripture? You know what the theological term is? It is the word repentance. To repent literally means to change your mind. Now, a lot of people think repent is a bad word. No, it's a good word. It's a positive word. People think repentance is this guy trying to scare people, you know, out of hell into heaven. It's the guy with a long beard holding a sign on the street corner saying, you know, the end of the world is coming, repent. And he's got on a sandwich board that says, you know, repent, turn or burn. You're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. No, that's not repentance. Repent. The word repent actually is the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your mind. That's what it means, to change your mind. It means a mental U-turn. And it means when I repented, I changed my mind. I turned from life, from death to life. I turned from sin to forgiveness. I turned from guilt to peace of mind. I return from pressure to joy. I turn from hell to heaven. I turn from my way to God's way. I turn from stress to confidence. It was the most positive change in my life when I repented. I would have done it years sooner if I knew what it involved. It wasn't something I regretted doing, repented. It was the greatest decision of my life. I turned from regret to sheer peace of mind and forgiveness. And when I repented, I changed my mind about everything. I changed my mind about me. I changed the way I saw God. He's not mad at me. He's mad about me. I changed the way I saw life. I changed the way I think about money. I changed the way I think about heaven and hell. I changed the way I think about sex. I changed the way I think about the problems I face in life. I changed the way I think about other people. I changed the way I think about everything in life, my parents, my past, my present, my future. That is what it means to repent, a mental U-turn. How many of you have a GPS in your car? Okay, bunch of you do, all right. Some of you, you've got ones that speak aloud, mine does. And if I'm out there and I make a defective turn, it will often tell me, make a U-turn as quickly as possible. Now, the wisdom shows up in my life on how quickly I make a U-turn. And when God says to repent, he's saying, I want you to make a U-turn as quickly as possible. You're headed down the wrong track. You're going the wrong way. It's not going to take you where you want to go. It says, you've got to change the way you're thinking. And you've got to fill your mind with the truth, not the lies. Now, why is this important? To learn to think in new ways. You even have to think in new ways about your defects. Would you write this down? Defects are often strengths being misused. That's a new way of thinking. My defects are often my strengths being misused. You've probably never thought of that. But that's a repentance. That's a change of mind. My defects are often the strengths God gave me being misused.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he's created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box. And it is beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver, with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and this new scripture box makes a great gift too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write to him at rick@pastorrick.com. Once again, here's Rick.
Maybe God gave you a strength of discernment, and you've got a phony meter in your brain that can smell out a fake just like that. And you know, when you get around some poser and your phony meter goes ding, 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 this guy's a fake. This girl's a fake. You know, by the way, the only people that posers impress are other posers. Because everybody else can see through it. But maybe you have a natural discernment. That's a good thing. But if you don't know how to use it correctly, incorrectly use, you'll get judgmental. You'll be critical. You'll be tempted to judge other people all the time. It's a good quality being misused. Maybe you have a strength in detail. and you're detail-oriented. You could see details and you notice things that other people, thank God we have detailed people in the world. I'm not one of them. But thank God, if I'm having brain surgery, I want that surgeon to be a detailed person. I don't want him to go, oh, what's that piece? Oh, forget it, throw it over there, you know. We don't need that part, you know. Just cram it back there in the corner. No, I want my brain surgeon to be as detailed as possible, okay? But if you're a detailed person and you misuse that God-given gift, you're gonna become picky, you're gonna become finicky, you're gonna be unpleasable, and you are difficult to live with because you're a detailed person. On the other hand, you may be a big picture person. And thank God for big picture people. We need people who can see the big picture, people who can look 3, 5, 10 years ahead. I'm a big picture kind of person. And I'm always trying to think ahead for you because some of you aren't. And if you're a big picture person, that's a good thing. But if you don't understand the weakness behind that, you will overlook people because you're always looking at the picture. Now, God loves to put opposites together and watch the sparks fly. So detail people always marry big picture people. You know, as I've said many times, when people, before marriage, opposites attract, and then after marriage, opposites attack. And all those things that you thought were so cool about your spouse now irritate you to death. And before you got married, you go, man, how does she think like that? That is so cute. You know, what attracted you to your boyfriend or your girlfriend is they're different from you. It is the differences that attract you. You go, wow, I've never seen anybody who thinks that way. It's just so fascinating. Now, 6 months into the relationship, you're going, could you be a little bit more like me? I mean, that's irritating now. And so maybe you're an amiable person. That's your natural giftedness. And you're like, nobody bugs you. It's easy to get along with you. You can just go along to get along. You're very amiable. But if you use that incorrectly, you're going to let people walk all over you. And you're going to be a doormat. And it actually becomes a defect. A strength can become a defect. So you got to change the way you think. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this. Let the same mind and attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Now, God wants you to learn to think like Jesus. How do you do that? Well, again, it's a choice. You've got to make a choice and say, Lord, how would Jesus think about this? And the more you fill your mind with the Word of God, the easier that's going to be. I want you to hear how God is helping her think in new ways and be free from defects in her life. Would you give Victoria a warm welcome?
Hi, my name is Victoria, and I'd like to share my story about how Jesus is helping me make changes in my life that I never thought would be possible by learning new ways of thinking. As a child, I grew up here in Saddleback Valley. Then right before I started kindergarten, my family and I left Mission Viejo and headed up north to a town called Camarillo. I had heard all the Bible stories growing up, but I didn't really have a close relationship with God. Mostly, I just enjoyed seeing my friends on Sunday since a lot of my classmates went to church. Then in 1998, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. That shocked me into realizing that life was not going to be easy. It was an extremely hard time for my family, but since I was so young, I wasn't able to comprehend everything that was happening. Now looking back, I don't know how my parents would have gotten through that time without the support of our physical family and church family, and of course, trusting in God. Then the next year, my sister was diagnosed with diabetes. Still being so young, I didn't understand why my sister had to poke herself with needles multiple times a day. But with prayer and support, her diabetes became more manageable and not the death sentence I thought it was going to be. Then when I was 10 years old, I publicly committed my life to Jesus by being baptized and started living my life for Christ, well, as best as I knew how at the time. Of course, there were the normal hurts of growing up. During elementary school, the girls I hung out with were really mean to me. They'd run away from me at recess and pretended to be allergic to me when I came to sit with them at lunch. It just got worse and followed me to middle school. I began to develop ways to try and protect myself, but the pain still hurt. In eighth grade, I got my first boyfriend. I was so excited because he was smart and could play guitar. I mean, what more could a junior high girl want? I realize now, looking back, that our relationship was defective and pretty dysfunctional. It wasn't that he was a bad guy, it was just that we didn't know how to relate, and since our relationships with God were not strong, we didn't know how to put him first in our dating. When we were together, I felt loved and wanted, but as soon as we were apart, I felt lonely and unloved again. There was a big hole in my heart. So I lived for the approval of my friends, and because I didn't understand how much God loved and accepted me, I looked for it in others. When that boyfriend and I inevitably broke up, I was devastated. Just as I started to really be myself, it really set me back. I decided to withdraw into a more protective shell. From that moment on, I never wanted to show who I truly was. I got good at faking it. By not being honest with myself, with God, and with others, my relationship with God became lukewarm at best, and I drifted further away. I started to feel a void in my life, which I thought I could fill with more relationships to guys who could give me attention. The ironic thing is that living in that shallow way just made me feel even emptier. I finally settled down with one boyfriend, and we were together for a year. But that year was the darkest year of my life. In the middle of my darkness, my dad, who had been unemployed for a year, got a job down here in Orange County. The thought of moving again from all the connections scared me to death. I was so mad at God for taking away my home from me. I lived with my grandparents to finish school. My relationships with my friends became strained, and my relationship with my boyfriend became more unhealthy and displeasing to God. To say everything was defective is no exaggeration. Finally, I made the right decision to do the right thing, and I broke off the harmful relationship. 5 months ago, I started attending Crave here at Saddleback Church. Crave is Saddleback's outreach to young adults in their 20s. Pastor Rick spoke to over 500 of us on Thursday night last week and challenged us for a decade of destiny. From that first night of attending Crave, God has been renewing my mind and helping me see my life from his perspective. He's helped me to become more honest about the areas of my life I need to work on, and he's giving me the strength to make changes I never thought would be possible. I am a completely new person and a far better one because of the truth I've been learning at Saddleback Church. I've learned new ways of thinking through Crave, and especially with the support of my small group. My small group is amazing. I have never felt more loved when I'm with those girls. We took a trip to Utah this past February that was life-changing. On Sunday, February 20th, was the best night of my life. During worship, God broke into my heart in a deeper level and healed my heart. I could honestly feel his arms holding me tight, telling me that everything was okay. At that moment, I fully recommitted my life to Jesus Christ, and the following Thursday, I was baptized, knowing that I really understood and meant my commitment. I was tired of living the Christian life without having the relationship I needed with God. I now know that God moved my family back to Orange County, and I know it was because he loves me. As I keep learning new things about God, he keeps changing my perspective on things. I've learned the simple truth that I need other believers in my life to become all God wants me to be. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13, which it's become my life verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God has a plan, and he's always had one. It's now up to me to follow after them and continue seeking after God. Thank you, and God bless you.
All right, quickly, write these other three down. The fourth change that is required is that change requires the Holy Spirit. You need more power than just willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. Again, we talked about this in detail last week. You might get that message in Romans chapter 8. Verse 24 says this, you must put on your new nature. And you can't do that with willpower. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Now, what he's talking about here is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that God puts in your life when the Holy Spirit lives through you. And the Bible says there are 9 of those qualities. They are love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control and faithfulness. There are 9 of these qualities. And how does God produce the fruit in your life? Not by willpower. You don't go out and say, I'm going to be a more patient person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more joyful person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more loving person. Willpower does not work. Fruit is an inside job.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love getting these letters from you, and let me just read one for you today. It's from a woman named Lauren. She says, Pastor Rick, every day when I'm doing my routine tasks or I'm commuting to work, I'm listening to the Daily Hope podcast online. I listen and I re-listen and I re-listen again to all the messages, knowing the value that they've had on my life. Rick, these messages have transformed my heart from a bitter, hardened, distrustful place toward not only people but God, to being in a place where I now have joy daily. I've got a joy that is not possible without God. And not only has my life been transformed, I've seen my family's life transformed. Rick, it is through all that God has done and continues to do in this broadcast and through your life and ministry that my family has been transformed. I am excited to say that I'm now a donor to your podcast, starting with this paycheck. I've been so blessed by all you've given to us as listeners that I'm now blessed to give back. God bless you, Lauren. Well, Lauren, by the way, Lauren, if you were my daughter, you'd be Lauren Warren. Thanks for the encouragement. I'm so glad to hear how God is working in your family. And by the way, thank you for your contribution. It allows us to take this good news to other Laurens around the world and other people around the world. Your prayers and support matter. Thank you for listening. And by the way, everybody, God bless you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.